Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for great service we already have had, and we pray, God, that our hearts will be open, God, and that we will hear you in the next few minutes. Whatever we're going through, God, whatever specifically we need to respond to from your word, I pray we'll have the courage to do it. We love you and we praise your name, Jesus. Amen. Let's give the band a hand for a great job as always. Good morning. We welcome you here and online. We welcome you for joining us. Hope everybody's doing well and had a great 4th of July. Storms are something in Ruston we have learned a little bit about in the last months. I think we'd all agree. And when we lived in Cisco, Texas, it's on the cusp of West Texas. And West Texas people know about tornadoes. Have any of you ever lived in Amarillo, Texas? You ever been to Amarillo, Texas? You know where it is? It's on the other side of the moon from here. It's about 4 hours from Cisco, but in West Texas, 4 hours is close. Seriously, that's not considered a long way. And I would ask people from Amarillo, have you ever seen a tornado? And it was so common, you could be eating dinner with them, and they'd just say, oh, yeah, I've seen many of them. Pass me the ketchup. I mean, it was very common because if you've been to Amarillo, it's completely flat. And on a clear day, you could probably see for 50 miles. I mean, it is like that. And they have a lot of tornadoes, so they're familiar with tornadoes. We got our fill of those this spring also, too. Do you remember, though, back on April the 13th, it was a Saturday, almost two weeks before the tornado, we had a really bad storm. We had a really bad hail storm. Do y'all remember that? We have a picture of my back porch there. And, of course, in Ruston, that lasts about 3 minutes, and then it melts. But everybody in my neighborhood got a free roof out of that, or a new roof out of that. I shouldn't say a free roof. Because it was devastating. It was tough. We understand storms. And in Matthew 14 this morning, we're going to talk about storms. We've been in the last few weeks in this story where Jesus walks on water, and we're going to see him walk on water again today. And next week, we're going to see Peter jump out of the boat and walk on water to Jesus. But this morning, we're going to talk about the storms. And I want to begin with this. Storms happen in life. They just do. Storms happen. In verse 24 of chapter 14, it says, but the boat had been gone a long way from land by now. It was beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. The word beaten means it was tossed, it was tortured, it was painful. Against means contrary and antagonistic. Now, again, if you're in a small open-air sailboat and the wind is against your boat and contrary to your boat, and antagonistic to your boat and torturing your boat, would you agree it's agonistic towards you and it's torturing you and it's contrary towards you? These guys were experiencing a weather storm, but also a very serious personal storm too. And you and I do also. Not only do we meteorological storms we experience, but we experience storms. And some of you this morning, you got financial issues. You got marital issues. You got kid issues. You got parent issues. You got work issues, you got health issues, things that you're looking at that you're struggling, and that they are storms, and it is stormy. That's part of life. And one of the things I want to try to answer is, why does this happen? A meteorologist, one of the things they try to discover is why storms take place, what causes them. And they have a pretty good concept with hurricanes. With a hurricane, you can get about a 3-day running start to get away from it if you're paying attention. A tornado, it may be a 30-second head start to get away from it. And one of the keys to them with tornadoes in the future is going to be figuring out more and more what causes them, why do they start, will help us respond better. So I think it helps us respond better when we understand the why. Storms. Here's the first thing. I want to give you 4 thoughts. They're not exhaustive on this, but it's just life. Storms are just life. Storms just happen in life. The men, Jesus' disciples, are out on the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is a beautiful place. It's really a freshwater lake, but they called it a sea because that's what they knew it as. And I mentioned last week, you could see in the Bible or in other places, it's called the Lake of Gennesaret or the Sea of Galilee or the Lake or Sea of Tiberias. It's the same place. It's 33 miles around if you just got the urge to jog around it, which I never would in 100 years. It's 13 miles long. It's 8 miles across at its widest point. But the thing that makes this interesting, it's the lowest freshwater lake in the world, lowest below sea level. It's 686 feet below sea level. You have the Arabian Desert on one side and the Mediterranean Sea on the other. We have a picture of the Sea of Galilee. You can see these mountains here, and what it being so low, being down in a rift, what happens is the winds come off the sea and off the desert, and they get in caught in those spinning around those mountains, and the sea is notorious for quick storms, dangerous storms, bursting up on people. When Cindy and I were in Israel in 2013, we got to the Sea of Galilee, and this is funny because when we got there, they said, you can't go out on a boat right now because earlier today, a storm just blew up, just came out of nowhere, and the sea's dangerous right now. An hour later, it was calm, and we got to go out, and I tried to walk on water, and I did for a few feet. You know, then I sank, and Cindy saved me. But it, the same problems they have, atmospheric problems they had then, they have today. Part of the being on the Sea of Galilee is it's going to be stormy. Listen, part of life is you're going to have problems and you're going to have storms and you're going to have issues. Years ago, I had some things happen, and I remember one of my friends told me something. I did not like what he said, but he was so true. He just said, Chris, it's just life. It's just life. And sometimes life is just stormy. Here's the second possibility. You want to try to figure out, why am I in the storm? Sometimes, man, the devil just hammers us. Sometimes Satan just really, really attacks us. If you were to read in the Gospels, it's in Matthew 4, it's in some other Gospels, where Jesus is tempted by the devil. It's interesting. It says, in one, I think it's Luke, it says that he tempted him and then he left until an opportune time. In other words, he hit him hard, then he's going to circle around and then try to come back again and hit him. And Satan does that to you and me. And sometimes you can look and you go, man, everything in my life is hard. And sometimes it's just the devil really hammering you, really hammering you. Here's the third thing. It's a very real possibility for all of us here this morning, is that we get in storms because of our own mistakes and sins. We get in storms because we do dumb stuff. We get in storms because we do sinful stuff. Now, I didn't put this in here, but you might even make a note of this. Sometimes other people do sinful and dumb stuff and put us in a storm. Somebody say amen. And that's frustrating, isn't it? It's bad enough for me to be in a storm because I'm dumb. It's worse if I'm in a storm because you're dumb. Amen? And some of you are going, well, I've been in a storm because you're dumb. I understand, and I apologize for that. But sometimes we find ourselves in a mess just because we do things that we shouldn't do, that are sinful and that are wrong. This spring, a Dutch fighter plane was out on a maneuver. It has a Gatling gun, machine gun, that shoots 6,000 rounds a minute. And they travel at a velocity of about 3,000 feet per second. Now think about that, you deer hunters. You could kill your limit for a lifetime in 1 minute, couldn't you? And that's incredible. Here's what happened, though. They're out flying around. He shoots the machine gun, or whoever's responsible for that. The pilot kicks it in and makes a hard turn, and the plane's a lot faster than the bullets, and he shoots himself. And it, you know, goes in the fuselage, it breaks into pieces in the engine. Thank goodness he lands safely. Someone probably got demoted because of that. But that's creating your own problems, wouldn't you say so? How many of you figuratively have ever shot yourself in the foot? Now, see, guys, this is a really important thing. Some of us spend all our energy looking for somebody to blame. It's their fault. They did it. Why'd you do this to me? And that may be some truth to that, but a lot of times we have created our own hurricane. We have created our own tornado by our sins and our mistakes. So it's what you do when you realize I'm in a mess because of me, not because of you, because of me. You own it. You confess it. You repent, and you try to fix everything you can. And the cool thing, all the good things we're going to see in a moment apply no matter how you got in a storm. You realize you've created your storm. Own it. Quit pushing the blame off on somebody else. Own it. Confess it to God and whoever else you need to. Repent. That means stop. And then move forward in a better direction. Sometimes we create our own storms. But here's the part that I find very interesting. Sometimes storms happen as you're truly following God. See, that's not supposed to be. Like Will said before he sang that last beautiful song, you know, we're going to follow God. Everything ought to be great. Cookies and ice cream and no calories, and it ought to be wonderful. But verse 22 through 26, immediately he made the disciples, he is Jesus, get in the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, Jesus goes up on the mountain to pray. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten, tortured by the waves, and the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus comes walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they said, "Hey, look, there's Jesus. This is awesome." No, what does it say? They were terrified. They screamed, "It's a ghost," and they cried out in fear. Guys, these are professional fishermen. They're used to fishing on this lake at night, and now they are in the fight for their life. They may have been out here 8 to 10 hours fighting against the wind. It's probably 5 miles across where they were crossing, and they should have been long gone. They should have been across, and they're not across. And now they haven't even been drinking, and they're seeing ghosts. Now think about that for a minute. If the game warden pulled some guys off Lake Darbone tonight and they claim they see a ghost, saw a ghost, he'd make them walk the straight line, wouldn't he? Properly. And here's something interesting. They're in a very precarious position. They're scared out of their wits, and they're seeing ghosts. And you know why? They're right where Jesus told them to be. I said this last week, knowledge is power. It will help you to understand why your storm's happening. And sometimes you can honestly say, "Man, I'm doing everything I can to follow Jesus, and I am seeing ghosts, and the boat is rocking." You know what? You keep following Jesus. That's a good place to be. Figure out why you're in your storm. But here's some neat things about the storms, I think. It's a question, first of all, why does God allow these storms? Why does God allow them? I think there's some neat answers. These aren't exhaustive either, but why does God put you through storms? Why did God put them through the storm? Why didn't Jesus just say, "Wait, y'all sleep here with me, and then we'll get in the boat to go to the other side together, and it'll all be grand"? Why does God allow you and me to go through the storms? I want to give you two thoughts. Here's the first. Storms can, that's the key word, can make you better. Storms can make you better. Folks, I heard this years ago. I have no idea who said it. When life hits you hard, two things can happen. You can get bitter or you can get better. Fred Baxter told me after the first service, he said, bitter is spelled with an I. And normally the bitter people are focused on I. Better is spelled with an E, and that's focusing on eternity. That's pretty good. But you got a choice of what happens to you when the storms hit. In verse 33, it says, "And those in the boat," this is when they got the other side, the storm's over, "they worshiped Jesus, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" Listen what happened. Because Jesus sent them out, because they went through the storm, because they're going to see Jesus do miraculous things, they had a fresh vision of Jesus, their hearts were revived, and they said anew and again, "Man, this really is the Son of God." One thing God is trying to do in your storms, you go, "Man, I'm not in a storm. My life is perfect." You better humble yourself. You may be in a storm this time tomorrow, but you will be if you live much longer. One thing God's wanting to do is to make you better and to make you a different person. He's always trying to mold you and me and make us better. There was a priest, a preacher, and a guru, New Age guru, meeting and talking about prayer. Well, while they were talking, there was an electrician who worked for the utility company in the room working on something. He'd been out working on the pole, and now he's inside working in the room. And the ministers were talking about the position of prayer. And the preacher said, "The best position for praying, that you'll pray the best, is when you're on your knees." And the Jewish rabbi said, No. "The best position is when you're lifting your hands up and your face up to God." And the guru said, No. "It's when you sit in that yoga position and cross your feet, like most of us men can't do, and you hum, that's the best position for prayer. And the repairman said, I hate to interrupt you guys, but I tell you when I did my best praying, I was working on a telephone pole 30 feet in the air, and I fell and got caught by my boot and was hanging by my boot, and hanging upside down is when I learned how to pray. And you know what? Some of us aren't going to get off our high horse, and we're not going to get better until we get into the storms. And see, one thing God's trying to do in your storm and in my storm is to make us better. Years and years ago, on a Sunday evening in my little church, and the church probably where Greg Phillips is sitting is the back row. I want you to think about that. And the whole church is the center section. And there's 25 people there. Let me give you a hint. If you've ever gone to those churches, don't go to sleep. Don't talk. Of course, thank God we didn't have cell phones then, so they couldn't play on their cell phones. Because the preacher sees it all. Jesus sees it all, and the preacher sees it all. And this guy came in on a Sunday night, and when you got 25 there and you got a guest, you recognize the guest, don't you? And he was a family member of some members in our church. He was married to somebody. This guy was about my age, probably 23, and he was the most bored person I've ever seen in a sermon. He beat some of you. I mean, he sometimes actually had his eyes closed, leaning back. Then he'd cross his arms and kind of look at me like, you're an idiot. And I agree. I'm sure I am and I was. But his whole posture and body language, you know, it said to me, you don't have anything to say to me that I care about or it's going to help me at all. Fast forward 6 months later, his wife has an affair. She divorces him. She leaves him. He comes to church on a Sunday night. I have never seen somebody as open and sitting on the edge of their seat, writing down everything that was being said. Wrote me a great note the next week about how God had spoke to him through the service. And I want to tell you, the sermon wasn't a whole lot better than it was 6 months ago. You know what the difference was? The condition of that guy's heart. Man, I don't wish a storm on you, but if a storm is what it's going to take to make you better, that may be what God put you through. Here's a great quote. I don't know who said it, but it's a great quote. In your storms, you choose to be the victor, not the victim. You're going to go through storms. Some of you are in storms. You're going to. You make a choice with Jesus Christ. You're going to be the victor and not the victim when all is said and done. God wants to make you better in the storm. Here's the second thing. And man, they go together, but how important this is. God's trying to get you and me to depend on Him more and more. God wants you to depend on Him more and more. Folks, if God wants anything from you this morning, God wants you and me to lay our lives to Him and depend on Him more and more. In verse 27, it says, but immediately after Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it's I, don't be afraid. And in verse 32, and when Jesus got in the boat, the wind ceased. The two common denominators of them finding peace and of the wind stopping was Jesus Christ, and them quit fighting everything and just depend on Him. Listen, here's what God wants you to do. God wants you to depend on Him. You're not going to go to heaven unless you surrender your life to Christ, trust Him by faith, and quit being independent and depend on God. You Christians, what God wants you to do is depend on Him. In Matthew 5:3, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit. That's not depressed. That's not poor financially. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of God. The poor in spirit say this, I need God. I need God. The problem with some of us this morning, and I want to say this as sweet as I can, we've got money, we've got education, we've got comfort, we've got ease. We don't realize how much we do need God. And God's trying to get you to the point, and some of us, He may have to break us in two to get us to the point where we will look up instead of just looking within. We will look up and depend on Him. In 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8 and 9, this is God speaking to the Apostle Paul. Paul says, for we don't want you to be unaware, brothers, of the troubles we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened, we were burdened beyond our ability to handle it, we thought we were going to die. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but to rely on God who raises the dead. Paul said, we went through a terrible storm so we would realize we need God more than we need our own strength and power and understanding. You ever heard the old saying, God will never give you more than you can handle? The Greek word for that is what? It's baloney. It's baloney. God's going to put stuff on you that you can't handle, so you will intentionally look to Him. Here's the truth. There's nothing that can happen to you that you and God together can't handle. But God may very well put you in the middle of a storm that you can't handle, so you will look up to Him. Isn't that neat? Isn't that good to know? Why am I in the storm? God's trying to make you better. Why am I in the storm? God is trying to get you ready for bigger and better things. And God's trying to get you to be less independent and more dependent. I've said this 100 times. The whole goal of Christianity is to become more dependent on God. A little baby's born, the goal, if they're healthy, is they are completely dependent on mom and daddy. They grow to be independent. As a Christian, the whole goal is before you were saved, you're independent of God, and you become more and more independent. The most mature Christian in this room is not the one who's got the knowledge. It's the one who is the most dependent on Jesus Christ. And any storm that makes you come to church more, makes you pray more, makes you read your Bible more, makes you love more and lean on God more, God's using that for your good. God's trying to get you to depend on Him more. Now, I want to give you some good news about the storms. I think that's good news, but I want to give you more good news about the storms. I want to give you 3 things that I think are wonderful. Jesus is fully aware of your situation. How many of you ever feel He's not? Verse 25, it says, in the fourth watch of the night, remember the watches were Roman divisions of the night. The fourth watch was from 3 a.m. to 6 p.m., so we'll say this was 4:30. Jesus came walking to them on the sea. You know what? They've been out at the sea for 8 to 10 hours. And let's get real today, because these guys are real. I guarantee you, you know what they're thinking? Where is Jesus? Peter, get out your cell phone. We don't have any cell service on this stupid sea. Jesus is in the mountains. He doesn't have any cell service. And they think they're dying, I'm sure. And they're wondering, where is Jesus? And Jesus came walking out of the water. One of the purposes Jesus came walking out of the water is He wanted them to know He knew where they were. One scholar said when Jesus was on the mountain before it was dark, He could see them. And then spiritually, Jesus could see them when they were out in the water. And He comes walking out of the water to say, I'm aware of your situation. I want to tell you something great today. The people who love you the most can't always be aware of your situation. They can't know unless you're telling them everything. But Jesus is. Jesus knows exactly what's going on in your marriage, with your family, your kids, your finances. He knows everything about it. And He knows the bad and the good, and even though the bad He knows, He loves you deeply, but despite that, He is keenly aware of your situation. Here's another cool thing. Jesus is with you in the storm. Man, how many of you is it important to have the right people with you at the right time? I'm not even talking about knowing the right. I'm talking about having the right people. I didn't have a big brother growing up, but I have a big brother, really. It's a guy that we've been friends with about 45 years. He was 2 years older than me. His name is Carl. Still very close to him, and he was the toughest guy in our high school and in the area that we hung out around. Cindy asked one time when Carl and I were together, she said, Chris, did you have to fight much in junior high and high school? I said, nope, because I was with Carl. And when you're with one of the toughest guys, you're in good shape, aren't you? Who's with you matters. There's a little 4-year-old boy that thunder starts booming. He goes to his mom and dad's bedroom, and he says, Mama, come here. Because Daddy wouldn't let him get in the bed with him. He said, Mama, come here. I need you to sleep with me. I'm scared. She said, I can't do that. She goes and tucks him in. He said, Mama, please get in the bed with me. Stay with me. I can't. Jesus is with me. I can't see Jesus. I got to go back and sleep with Daddy. And the little boy looks in the bedroom and says, that big sissy.
Hey, daddy isn't going to always be there with you. Mama's not going to be, but Jesus is. Man, look in verse 26 and 27. Man, the power of these verses. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. And they said, it is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately, instantaneously, Jesus said to them, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. If you're taking notes, please write this phrase down. It is I. It is I. Here's how you literally translate what Jesus said. Jesus said, I am. I am. You say, whoa, that's weird. What does that mean? Well, in Exodus 3:14 is the first place I believe this shows up in the Bible. God said to Moses, God's trying to get Moses to go rescue the people. And Moses is saying, well, but who do I tell him sending me, by the way? And he says, you say, I am who I am. Say to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Several times in the gospel, Jesus said, I am, and the people wanted to kill him because they knew he was saying he was God. You know what Jesus said to those guys in the boat who thought they were dying? Jesus said, sit up and take courage because God is here. Wow. I don't know what you're going through. But man, you need to turn your heart and your life to Jesus Christ today. And I want to tell you, when you do and you look with spiritual eyes, God is in the house, friend. God is here. It's never going to get too hot in the kitchen for him. He's never going to get scared. He's never going to get nervous. He's never going to leave. He's never going to run. Jesus said to them, I am. God is here for you. Man, if you're taking notes, Joshua 1:9. God told Joshua, he said, be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua's fixing to lead a lot of people into a new land, and these people were not seasoned warriors. They were nervous and scared. And he said, look, Joshua, God's going to be with you. You're going to be okay. Listen, here's what Jesus said to them, and he says to you, you got reasons to be afraid, but because I'm with you, you don't have to be afraid. Isn't that awesome? Whatever you're going through, Jesus is with you, and he's not going to leave you. Amen. Let me give you one other pretty thought. Jesus can take care of you in your storms. Friend, if you call one of our ministers and we can be with you, we will. But we can't always take care of it. Jesus can. Jesus is not only going to be with you, Jesus is up to the struggle in the battle. In verse 32, it's subtle. It says, when Jesus got in the boat, the wind ceased. The word ceased means it got exhausted. It got weary. It just, the wind got tired. Folks, in James chapter 4, it says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. No, he's coming back. But even the devil will get tired if you stay close to Christ. He's going to leave. He'll come back, but he'll leave you alone. People who are driving you crazy, you stay true. They'll get tired, and they'll get weary. But here's the lesson of the Scripture. God never will. The Bible says God never sleeps or never slumbers. God's not going to get tired. Whatever storm you're facing, God can handle the storm. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. That's talking about the devil. And there, any storm is not even up to the devil. The devil's stronger than the storms. He's a fallen angel. But what that says is if you're a Christian, God in you is greater than the devil and anything you will ever face. I love this quote. The Savior inside of you is greater than the storms around you. All he wants you to do is reach out your hand and your heart and grab his and not let go. The choice is ours. The choice is not yours whether you'll face storms, you will. The choice is what happens when we go through them. Will we let God make us better? Will we let it drive us to our knees and live a life of dependency on God? Will we hold on to God's hand knowing he's aware that he's there and that whatever storm we're going through, God can get us safely to the other side if we'll let. Let's choose to let him. Would you pray with me? If you're a Christian, I pray that God is speaking to your heart and that you will
Repent where you need to repent, and that you will lean into God. Lean into God. Let Him take care of you. If you're not a Christian, but you're ready today to give your life to Christ, pray with me. Just say, Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I want to repent of my sins. I believe you're God's Son, and that you died and arose for me. Jesus, come into my heart, and I surrender my life to you. Let me have your attention. Maybe you just ask Christ into your life, or you're ready to do that. You can come this morning when we stand. You can catch me or one of our ministers at this door after church. But I really challenge you, before you leave here today, if you're online, before you get off offline, give your life to Christ. That's the foundation of everything. Maybe you'd like to join our church today. You could do that after church. You could come and do that when we stand. You and I need a church to protect us and to help us with the things we go through. Come and join us today. You're a Christian. Maybe there are things that you need to repent of, but you've created some of your own messes. Do that today. Maybe you want to come and pray with a minister, or get on your knees and ask for God's help. Resurrender your life to Him. Put your dependency on Him. Let's stand. As God leads you, you come. We'll be looking for you.